KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a cloudy sky. It's 31 degrees in Atlantic. We look for to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a 30% chance of showers this afternoon and a high of 47. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. It's time to spring forward again as the country makes the switch to daylight saving time. Like those in almost all other states, residents in Nebraska and Iowa will trade an hour of sleep beginning tomorrow morning for an extra hour of sunlight in the evening. The government expanded daylight saving time in 2007 in an effort to save energy. It now begins on the second Sunday in March and continues until the first Sunday in November. The official change occurs at 2 a.m. Sunday local time, although people often change their clocks before going to bed on Saturday nights. Daylight saving time will end on November the 4th. Nine Iowa cities are splitting more than $3 million in federal funding to help finance updates to city sewers and water-related systems. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
Clinton is getting $600,000 for its project. Hamburg and Central City are each getting $500,000. Portsmouth is planning to dig a new well and install new water mains and is receiving $195,000 in federal funds for the project. $300,000 grants are going to Armstrong, Scranton, and Shelby. The communities of Lehigh and Smithland will each receive $242,000. I'm Pat Curtis.
And the experts are maintaining their prediction for a slightly above normal runoff into the Missouri River Reservoir system this spring. Nicole Shorney, an engineer with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in Omaha, says little is changing in the latest forecast.
The 2018 calendar year runoff forecast for the Upper Missouri Basin above Sioux City, Iowa is 29.0 million acre feet, which is 115% of average.
The Corps of Engineers continues to watch the snowpack and the higher elevations of the Missouri River Basin, but at this point, Shorney says they expect runoff in the lower basin to be closer to average.
For the lower four reaches, Oahe to Sioux City, we're forecasting near average runoff for the March to July period, based on plain snowpack, soil moisture conditions, precipitation outlooks, and current runoff trends.
Corps officials say they have 16 million acre feet of flood storage space available above the main stem dams. Well, the state's casinos submitted new security plans this week as they went through the license renewal process. Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission Administrator Brian Orilko says it's become a standard part of the process.
Commission staff will review those. They'll also consult with the local DCI agents at whatever property is submitting this security plan.
Orilko says the commission got a little more involved in the plans a few years ago,
when there was some legislation that reduced the number of DCI agents at the various facilities. And at that time, the administrative rules were changed to provide for more visibility to the commission of those security plans.
Talk of security reviews often centers around concerns about recent shootings. Orilko says making sure underage gamblers don't get in is one big security factor for casinos, and it is, as is taking care of the loot.
In any casino, there's a significant movement of money, whether that's dropping slot machines or table games and moving those to the count room and the vault. And so security plans kind of outline how that money is secured. It would also deal with what happens in the event of an emergency.
And he says the plans for state-licensed casinos have to include everything. The general manager of the new land-based casino near Davenport told the commission this past week that they're able to cut their on-site security staff level because local law enforcement and first responders are now closer and have better access than they did with the Riverboat Casino. A traffic stop on Interstate 80 in Pottawatomie County Thursday night resulted in the arrest on drug charges of 49-year-old Jeffrey Dean Long of Burlington. Long was pulled over a little after 10 p.m. near the 28-mile marker of I-80 westbound and arrested for possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, 6.4 grams, as well as driving under suspension. Thursday afternoon, 27-year-old Derek Allen Wolford of Council Bluffs turned himself into the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office. Wolford was wanted on a warrant for failure to comply with the state's sex offender registry. He was arrested for sex offender registry violation first offense and booked into the Pottawatomie County Jail. A man transported by Shelby County deputies to the Pott County Jail was booked in on a warrant this past week. The warrant for 35-year-old Zachary Isaac Goodside of Shelby was for violation of probation on an original charge of OWI second offense. Goodside was booked into the jail and held on a $1,000 bond. Authorities said also 42-year-old Shane Elam Rouse of Council Bluffs was arrested for violating a protection order. He was taken into custody at around 12.03 a.m. on Friday at a residence in Oakland, a protected victim's home. While deputies were at a secondary location looking for Rouse, drug paraphernalia was observed in plain view. And upon further inspection, drugs and additional paraphernalia were found. Deputies arrested 64-year-old Brenda Faye Bourne of Oakland for possession of a controlled substance, a small stamp-sized bag containing less than 0.6 of a gram of a white crystal substance, believed to be meth, and a green leafy substance, 0.9 of a gram of marijuana. Bourne was also charged with possession of drug paraphernalia for pipes and other miscellaneous items. She was taken into custody at around 11:35 p.m. on Thursday. Elsewhere in the news, officials say the state-run database tracking available hospital beds for psychiatric patients soon will be closer to accurate with twice-daily updates. Teresa Armstrong is with the Department of Human Services, the state agency that created the database after two of the state's four mental health institutes were closed in 2015.
The software we use is called CareMatch, and it tracks the available inpatient psychiatric beds at the MHIs as well as the 26 hospitals that have inpatient psychiatric services.
Those 26 hospitals and the mental health institutes in Cherokee and Independence have been reported openings. However, there was no state rule for how often the updates were to be made. A new state regulation will require the facilities to update their list of openings for patients who need inpatient psychiatric care twice a day.
It would assure that the information in the system would be closer to accurate. Folks on average probably stay in a bed for about 2 days, maybe 3 days. There is a lot of turnover, and we do see it from morning to afternoon.
Armstrong says most Iowa hospitals with inpatient psychiatric care have been updating the list regularly.
At least probably 90 to 95% of the hospitals are on a daily basis are updating it.
The state database is being used by hospital staff as well as local officials, helping police and sheriff's departments find inpatient care for someone suffering from an acute mental health crisis. Critics have complained the database hasn't been offering real-time information about available hospital beds for psychiatric patients. A bill passed by the Iowa legislature last year called for twice-a-day updates to the database. A rule implementing that requirement was approved Friday by a legislative review panel. And Iowans getting their insurance policies through the Obamacare marketplace would have a new, cheaper option under a new bill approved by the Senate Wednesday night. The bill would allow the Iowa Farm Bureau to sell health benefit plans offered by Wellmark that aren't subjected to the same coverage requirements as traditional insurance, making the premiums less expensive. Senator Randy Feenstra, a Republican from Hull, says the bill will help Iowans who can no longer afford to buy an individual insurance policy.
This seems to be a good test model for us to try.
If the bill becomes law, independent insurance agents around the state would be able to sell these cheaper health benefit plans, but the plans would only be available to Farm Bureau members.
And if there is success, maybe next year we can look at other organizations that Iowa citizens trust, and then we can create maybe other plans as we move forward.
Senator Julian Garrett, a Republican from Indianola, says this option would solve a big problem for self-employed Iowans, including farmers.
There are thousands of people in that category, and so I just can't overemphasize how big a deal this is for those people. This is just a lifesaver.
Nine Democrats in the Senate voted against the bill. Senator Matt McCoy, a Democrat from Des Moines, was one of them.
Because the funny thing about health insurance is you don't need it until you do. None of us know when the next heart attack's going to come. None of us know when the next stroke is going to come or when we're going to be diagnosed with leukemia.
Senator Joel Balcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, said these are buyer beware policies that may lead to financial shock when people discover their plan won't cover the costs of things like cancer drugs.
There are people ready to buy those policies, but I just think we should be clear about that.
Other Democrats argued Medica, the only company left selling individual insurance policies in Iowa, would be financially harmed as it loses customers who buy the Farm Bureau Wellmark plans. 40 of the 50 state senators voted for the bill. Similar legislation is pending in the Iowa House. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.